Good morning. It is 9 a.m. on Wednesday, December 13th, 2023, and I call this special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. And let us begin by pledging our allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhoffert and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. I mentioned special meeting at the beginning. It was a regular meeting until yesterday when we changed the time to 9 o'clock. So just that time change is what is special about it, although I always argue that all meetings of the Public Service Commission are special indeed. The reason it got moved up, if anyone's wondering, was at my request because I have a funeral to attend, and so I may end up leaving a little bit early. I need to depart the Capitol by 10:30. If the order that I am presenting from my portfolio passes, I will sign it myself because it's really something that I've worked for a long time, and I just want to. But beyond that, I authorize Sheila to sign the other documents for me so the process can begin if I'm gone before the end of the meeting. With that, I don't have any other opening comments.
Good morning, everyone. With this being our last special or meeting of the commission before the new year, I just want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a joyous New Year.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Thank you, Sherry and Randy. Thank you for attending that funeral today. I know you're doing it as a long, lifelong Hazen and Mercer County residents, but I think it's also really important as a state official to be there, and it's hard for all of us to be there today on a commission meeting day, but really appreciate you doing that and showing our respects for law enforcement and all that they do for us, including the biggest sacrifice of all for him and his family. Aside from that, today in my other role as NARIC president, I'll be hopefully wrapping up the announcement of the members for our GEAR task force, which is Gas Electric Alignment for Reliability. There's going to be 7 commissioner members from throughout the country and 7 industry members, and I just have 2 more to finalize and get those identified today, and then that group will be off and running, trying to really roll up their sleeves and get some answers to the very vexing problems of the gas and the electric industries being misaligned to a substantial degree that causes quite a lot of reliability risks for our power systems throughout the country. This is particularly acute in the wintertime. And so these folks are going to be dedicating a good chunk of their time. Their companies have allowed them to do that because they see how important this is. they'll be looking at the recommendations from the NASB group and several FERC, significant FERC research projects into Storm Uri and Elliott, and working through those recommendations and trying to find agreement between the various sectors, be it the pipelines, the RTOs, the producers, and the utilities, try to find agreement for how we can better align these industries and solve some of these problems for the near and distance future. So it's an effort I'm really excited about. I hope it bears a lot of fruit, and I'm impressed with the caliber of the folks who are willing to step up to it. So look for that later today, at the very latest tomorrow. With that, thank you, Randy.
Okay. We have 7 items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those 7 items plus the previous minutes.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. I move the commission approve bond release number 6 for surface coal mining permit NAFK-8705 held by the Falkirk Mining Company for the Falkirk Mine. To release all reclamation liabilities on 642.2 acres of land located in Section 36, Township 146 North, Range 83 West, McLean County, effective January 15, 2024, unless a formal hearing is requested, in Falkirk Mining Company Bond Release 6, Permit NAFK-8705, Application Case Number RC-23-152.
Second.
Well, on March 31st of this year, Falkirk filed bond release number 6, requesting the release of all the reclamation liabilities on 642.2 acres in McLean County at the Falkirk Mine. This didn't occur to me until just now. Why is it 642 when the section is 640? I guess I've just been presuming that Section 36 is the corner of a township. There are correction lines at townships, and this is one of those sections that happens to be just a little bit more than 640 acres because of the correction lines. The application is for acreage owned by the North Dakota Department of Trust Lands entirely. They own the whole section. It consists of about 580 acres of reclaimed native grassland, a couple acres of reclaimed wetland, about 11 acres of reclaimed county road and section line trails, and 48 acres that were not affected by mining activities. The mining-related disturbance was initiated in 1982, over 40 years ago. Coal was removed from 84 to 89. Haul roads, 3 sediment ponds, a pit water pond, and 2 small stockpiles remained in place on the property many years after coal removal to support mining activities that were occurring elsewhere. A primary haul road crossed this section from the northwest corner to the southeast corner, and that haul road remained in place to access an ash landfill that was located northwest of this section until 2012. So while the haul road was being used, the adjacent reclaimed lands were managed with prescribed grazing beginning in 1997. Portions of the tract were seeded from 1990 to 2012. The reclaimed grassland was respread with about 10 to 18 inches of topsoil. The reclaimed grassland was seeded with 6 different native species of grasses. At least 3 native forbs are also growing. The land is fenced, and livestock water support facilities have been installed to support the intended post-mine land use, which is grazing. Reclaimed areas were initially hayed and then managed with prescribed grazing beginning in 1997. The livestock watering facilities include a replacement well and a pipeline water delivery system that provides water to 4 separate water tanks, but they're all located together near the center of this section. The section is then fenced by quarter sections, and each quarter section is fenced diagonally to create a 8 grazing cells. And if you're familiar with modern grazing concepts, it is to graze heavily for a short time, move to another cell, move to another cell, and you really maximize the grazing potential. So it's an amazing setup for for any rancher that is going to be operating this on behalf of the state land department. Mining companies have to demonstrate that reclaimed native grassland yields are as good as or better than pre-mine native grassland yields during any 2 years after year 6 of the 10-year revegetation responsibility period. The native grassland species diversity and seasonality standards require that at least 5 native grass species be present. The relative composition of all the warm season grasses must be at least 15%. And Falkirk has demonstrated that the performance standards have been achieved and that the actual topsoil and subsoil respread depths have been verified by our Reclamation Division staff. A wetland was designed in this section to be a seasonal wetland. It's just under 2.5 acres in size, which was the size of this wetland prior to mining. It's been managed with the adjacent native grassland and cattle utilize the wetland vegetation. It was holding really minimum amount of water when we inspected it in August of this year, but that's just the way it was before mining as well. A portion of County Road 16 was affected by mining activities and has now been restored to its original location on the section line. The McLean County Superintendent of Highways has provided a letter indicating the county's satisfaction regarding the reclaimed portion of that road. The reclaimed section line trails provide access along the north and west sides of the section. Along the east side of that section line, there's a drainage way that is as it was before mining, and that could periodically hinder vehicular traffic, but again, that was pre-mine as well. Falkirk has completed surface and groundwater post-mine hydrologic assessments for the bond release and adjacent areas. The report shows that there's no material damage to the hydrologic balance. The bond release application contains a wildlife summary report that concludes that the pre-mining grassland and wetland habitats have been restored. The formal bond release inspection was conducted on August 22nd. Participants from our reclamation staff, Falkirk staff, 4 separate people from the North Dakota Department of Trust Lands were there. Jerry Reinisch of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, John Schumacher of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, and me. The McLean County Commissioners, OSM, DEQ, and NRCS officials were invited but declined the offer to participate. Our Reclamation Division has verified that the reclaimed native grassland has been established with a diverse mix of grass species. The native species are present but have been largely displaced by non-native invasive cool season grasses, namely smooth brome grass and Kentucky bluegrass and crested wheatgrass. That is a negative aspect of this, but I'm pointing it out to be forthright. Smooth brome grass, Kentucky bluegrass, and crested wheatgrass and alfalfa appear to be the dominant species established, and intermediate wheatgrass is prevalent in some of the later plantings. But I also want to point out that the undisturbed native grassland on this tract, which is primarily toward the southeast side, is also dominated by those same species. The established vegetation has yielded exceptionally well this year and is providing excellent ground cover and protection from erosion. Cattle rotationally grazed this tract in 2023, and utilization levels were generally light when inspected on August 22nd. Utilization was heavier near the water tanks, where cattle, of course, concentrate. So notice of this application was published in the official county newspaper, which is the McLean County Independent, as well as the Bismarck Tribune weekly from July 20th through August 10th. No objections to the application were received. Falkirk is not requesting any reduction in the bond amount since this area is currently covered by a worst-case reclamation condition that exists over the whole mine. If bond release is approved today, it will become effective January 15th, unless a formal hearing is requested. We leave that time gap for someone to request a formal hearing. Falkirk has demonstrated that its reclaimed lands use have met all applicable final bond release performance standards. The Reclamation Division recommends approval of the bond release application, as do I. I just want to also highlight... This is one of certainly the biggest single bond releases we've done. There have been some bigger ones, but this is one of the biggest. If you watch on Thursdays in the Bismarck Tribune, they always have a lot of auction sale things, and including a lot of land sales. You know, you finally find a whole section now that's with the same ownership. And here we have this whole section with the same ownership, all being bond released together. It's taken a long time because these, you know, the mining activities take a long time. Then there are impacts from the adjacent land that is still being mined. This is a long process, but we're starting to see significant tracts come out. This is the second really major reclamation tract that we've had now in the last couple of months. And so again, I was blessed to be able to be available to participate in this final inspection. And if I still was raising cattle full time, I would love to operate a pasture like this. And somebody's going to have the opportunity to lease it from the State Land Department.
Nice.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just quickly for perspective, Randy, what? How many total acres are under bond?
I will watch for pushback on this, but I think it's statewide.
Yeah.
I think it's about 135,000 acres.
Okay. And so getting this and some of these others, were chipping away at that grand total, but also then taking new out as well.
So. Yep. It continues to be an evolving thing, but for years, you know, there's some public frustration that the mines just keep growing, but nothing ever gets bond released. I remember in the Senate already having these discussions and trying to explain to people that, well, there are these lingering impacts of roads and holding ponds. But it did seem frustrating. And now it's nice to see good-sized chunks coming out that can go back into agriculture production in private ownership. Government ownership, but they lease it to private individuals. But it's not the mine running it anymore. And so we're making good progress with the mining industry.
Good job to our team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That's the only one I had on my portfolio. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Helgenhofer.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the finding of facts, conclusion of law, and order in Northern States Power Company Vance Prudence 460 megawatt solar Sherburne County, Minnesota. Application case number PU21-152.
Second.
So back on April 26, 2021, we received Northern States application seeking advanced determination of prudence for the 460 megawatt solar facility located at Sherburne County Generation Station. So now we took the matter up again in 2023, and I just want to preference why there was that delay. There were two reasons. The major reason was there was a federal review on solar panels, and also MISO was doing a seasonal capacity review at that time. So we retook this up again on July 11th, 2023. A public hearing was held, and that was noticed. So I'm going to go through some of the findings of facts on this case that I think are important for us to understand and then why we reached the decision we did. At the time of the application, NSP forecasted a 92 megawatt net capacity deficit on the system arising in 2026 and growing to over 1,000 megawatts by 2023, caused in part by NSP's plan to cease coal operations at Sherco Units 1 and 2 in 2023 and in 2026. Their modeling selected a 500 megawatt solar resource as optimal to add in 2025 to fill the capacity needs in 2026. Their modeling factors in the externality values of various generation types, carbon reduction goals set by NSP, and other Minnesota policy priorities. North Dakota's planning assumptions prohibit the consideration of externality values, and the model selected 374 megawatts of firm dispatchable capacity. NSP's most recent 2022-2034 IRP forecasted that NSP will have a system capacity need of 210 megawatts in 2026, and that is anticipated to grow to over 2,000 megawatts by 2030. The application requested, like I said, a 460-megawatt solar facility. NSP anticipates installation capital costs of $690.1 million with full operation beginning in the fourth quarter of 2024. NSP testified that it is locating the project at the Sherburne County Generation Station because of the retirements of the Sherco Units 1 and 2, which will result in the loss of MISO's interconnection rights if not replaced. NSP proposes reusing the existing interconnection rights to avoid the expense and likely delay of connecting new generation through the MISO generator interconnection queue. NSP submits that the project addresses the capacity deficit arising in 2026. They also testified it must address this capacity deficit to fulfill its load-serving obligations under the MISO tariff. NSP expressed its policy to satisfy capacity obligations with own resources or bilateral contracts so as to not become reliant on bilateral zone resource credit purchases or MISO's planning resource action. NSP also testified that the project is part of a multi-resource strategy, including the repowering of a gas-powered Wheaton generation station in Wisconsin with a new combustion turbine and five reciprocating internal combustion engines, RICE, units. In response to the capacity need in the Minnesota Public Service Utilities Commission request, that NSP explored projects which might provide economic stimulus during the conditions resulting from COVID-19 pandemic. NSP issued a request for proposal and conducted a competitive solicitation for solar projects specific to the Sherburne County Generation Station. The project was selected and further evaluation found it would provide lower cost energy than any other solar facility that it was currently operating in their system. At the time of the application, NSP recognized that the project was not the least cost resource to fulfill its capacity need and proposed a proxy pricing methodology to assess costs to the project to North Dakota consumers. During the proceedings, the Inflation Reduction Act, IRA, was enacted, and NSP anticipates that the project would qualify for a 10-year production tax credit and a 10% energy community bonus credit. They also testified that as a result of this economic benefits of reusing its existing interconnection rights and the IRA tax credit, the project is now at the least cost resource to satisfy the capacity deficit. This commission granted rate recovery for Sherco Units 1 and 2 and set a depreciation schedule through 2034. The early retirement of Sherco Units 1 and 2 has significantly contributed to the capacity deficit that NSP is projecting in 2026 by retiring over 1.3 gigawatts of dispatchable generation. The commission has not approved an early retirement of these units, and the North Dakota consumers are currently still paying for these units through 2034. NSP predicts that the project will have an initial capacity factor of 50%, and that will decline every year thereafter. MISO has implemented a seasonal construct for capacity accreditation and will be implementing a direct loss of load in approach to resource accreditation. The results of both indicate a marked decrease in accredited capacity. These changes are anticipated to be impactful to the economics of this project. Our advocacy staff recommended a denial of this application along with Jim Heidel. And they recommend a denial because the project was not the least cost capacity resource. And despite the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, Mr. Hildahl also recommended a denial as a result of outdated assumptions about accredited capacity. The project at the time of selection was not a least cost resource addition to the establishment as a prudent resource to meet capacity needs. The substantial change in economics does not support the granting of an advanced determination of prudence is in the public interest, particularly in a view of future changes in future capacity accreditation. As a result, the Commission finds that NSP has not met the burden of demonstrating that the application for advanced determination of prudence should be granted. So I support the denial of this project based on the finding of facts outlined. And I would request your approval of the denial of this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just briefly, thank you, Sherry, for walking through all that. Obviously, this has been a project that's been out there for a long time. I think we've come to the right decision here. I'm supporting this denial for two reasons. First of all, the commission, as Sherry said, has not approved the early retirement of Sherco 1 and 2 coal-fired units in Minnesota. That is really a Minnesota policy decision to meet their goals. We have not approved that early retirement, and that's what's driving the capacity need for this solar project. So that's number one. And number two, MISO is very much in the throes of determining the accreditation for all of its renewable resources, including solar. So even coming up with a number to assign this project for the amount of capacity value it could have if you were going to use it to replace that capacity of the early retirement, we can't do that right now because that hasn't been decided yet what these resources are going to be valued at. So with the significant challenges we're seeing in the country right now with capacity retiring quicker than it's being replaced, I understand that this is an effort to replace some of that capacity. But I don't think it's the right choice at this time, and I also don't think it's the right choice to retire Sherco 1 and 2, which we have said over and over again to Xcel. I still think it's not too late for them to change plans, and they should.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the Commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company service reconnection charge and manual meter reading tariff and rates, case number PU23-307.
Second.
On September 15th, NSP filed an application to change its tariffs to modify the service reconnection charge and the manual reading rider to reflect the cost of remote reconnection and remote meter reading related to its advanced metering infrastructure, AMI. So there's two tariff changes. The first one is with the service reconnect charge changes will be applied to the customer's bill starting on January 1st, 2024. And they're going to have dual rates for people who opt out of the AMI. They don't want this smart meter. So the second tariff will be the North Dakota, which will reflect in their North Dakota electrical rates. stipulates that the reconnection fee will change from $50 currently, will be reduced to $13.50 for those customers with a standard AMI meter. So those who will take the meter, who opt in, their reconnection will go from $50 to $13.50, effective January of 2024. NSP originally proposed that all customers will remain at $50 until January 1st, 2026, when their implementation will be complete. They're hoping it will be complete through 2025, when the fees will, they propose to increase to $100. Well, the commission believes a rate of 75 would be just and reasonable, more consistent with the gradualist rate-making policy. So having considered this matter, we support their tariff changes and are just and reasonable, and I support the approval of this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thanks. On September 20th, 2023, NSP filed a request for its 2024 renewable energy rider. The purpose of this rider is to recover from the electrical customers' costs of renewable energy generation not presently reflected in retail rates. NSP would recover costs of four previously approved projects. So the four projects that we're looking at that were previously approved, we're going to see a decrease in three of them and an increase in one of them, which will result in an overall decrease in this tariff. So Freeborn Wind is estimated at a little over $1.8 million, a decrease of $61,000. $671. Dakota Range, which was approved, is estimated to be at $1,842,784, a decrease of $167,464. Nobles Wind Repower, which was previously approved, is estimated at $784,551, a decrease of over $134,372. And Grand Meadows Wind Repower is estimated at $593,637. That one resulted in an increase of $63,217. The decreases are mostly due to the reduction in the average base rate of each facility. So as I indicated, with the three decreases and the increase, we are seeing a decrease of 37 cents for customers using 750 kilowatt per hour. So the residential customer will see a monthly decrease of 37 cents. And having considered all this, I support NSP's proposed 2024 renewable energy rider.
Did I miss the motion?
Oh, I didn't get it. Good catch. I was eager to go into the discussion. So I move the commission adopt the order of Northern States Power Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU23-312.
Second.
Go ahead and explain it.
Now we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2024 rates, case number PU-23-315.
Second.
Thank you, Julie. On September 27th, NSP filed an application for approval of its 2024 transmission cost recovery rider. The rider allows NSP to recover transmission capital and operating costs now presently reflected in base rate retail rates. So the annual update includes the Rogers Lake 115 kV bus expansion. It's their transmission reliability project, in a congestion capacity increase project that is currently not in the rates or base rate, totaling having a total of $57,184 revenue requirement for 2024. NSP proposes the revenue requirement totaling $3,143,952, resulting in a 0.1 per kilowatt for service rendered on or after January 1st, 2024. This results in a monthly billing increase for a residential customer using 750 kilowatts per month of approximately 43 cents over the existing transmission cost recovery rider. The incurred costs for the new and modified electric transmission facilities are reasonable and prudent, and the investment and associated costs for the new and modified electric transmission facility qualifies for recovery through the transmission cost recovery rider, and I support the approval of these rates.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And I have to really thank staff who really go through all these riders and scrutinize them and evaluate them so we can move them on and approve them. So thank you to the staff who has worked very hard on these. So this motion, believing that there is no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, the finding of this case involves similar questions of law and fact, I move the commission solidate these cases for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-02-0404 and issue a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Applied Digital, Second Office, Dickey County, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU23-320, and Montana Dakota Utilities Company Applied Digital, Second Data Processing Extension, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU23-321. I further move the commission assess application fees of $10,000 in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Applied Digital, Second Office, Dickey County, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU23-320, and Montana Dakota Utilities Company Applied Digital, Second Data Processing Extension, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU23-321.
Second.
Thanks. So on November 17th, 2023, MDU filed application under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-03 to extend service to Applied Digital Cooperation at two locations in Dickey County. Submitted with the application for temporary authorization to serve Applied were statements by Dakota Valley Electric Company, Dakota Valley Electric Cooperative Incorporated, that they agreed with MDU and they would not protest this application. So if for interested parties, any interested party has a right to file written objections based on issues of public convenience and necessity with the commission by January 24th, 2024. And if no objections are received by that date, the application may be granted as requested.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order on interim rates in Otter Tail Power Company 2023 electrical rate increase application case number PU-23-342.
Second.
On October 2nd, 2023, Otter Tail filed with the commission an increase in rates for electrical service. On November 2nd, they also filed an interim rate increase for electrical services. On December 1st, commission advocacy staff filed comments regarding the proposed interim rate increase. So what Otter Tail is looking at, that for their interim rate increase is based on a revenue requirement for a projected 2024 test year. The rate change would result in a net increase in annual revenue for the 2024 test year of $14,214,884, or a 6.03% increase in annual revenue. The company filed a rate increase, is entitled to interim rate under North Dakota Century Code. The interim rate increase must meet certain criteria, including the same rate of return on common equity authorized by the commission in the public utility's most recent rate proceedings. Rate base and the expense items must be the same in nature and kind allowed by the commission in its most rate proceedings, and no change in the existing rate design. And they have met that criteria. So their net increase in the annual revenue, as I stated, is subject to refund to be effective January 1st, 2024. The total interim rate revenue requirement is $34,450,473. However, they are asking for an additional, their $20,235,583 to be included in this interim rate, which is their riders. This will have the effect of making the interim rate to appear much larger increase. While the net revenue increase is 6.03, the interim rate will be at 30.51%. So the net impact to the customer's bill will be $7.26. Due to these interim rates. We find that they have met all the criteria on the interim rates, and I support their approval of the interim rate increase.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. Thank you. I move the commission adopt the amended order in Otter Tail Power Company amend Laverne Wind Upgrade, setting application case number PU-23-176.
Second.
So this, this feels like Groundhog Day with these wind repowers with Otter Tail Power. But this one we actually did approve a few months ago, and they're coming back with an amendment to it. So on, let's see, when did we approve this? We approved it originally in August. The commission adopted the order approving their original repowering plan. And then on September, they came back and filed an application to amend that because there was one landowner that was listed as being non-participating that needed a waiver from the property line signed. And then Otter Tail realized that they're actually a participating landowner, so they don't need the waiver. So today's motion amends the original order to take that waiver requirement out, and that's all that we're doing with this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission reduce the application fee to $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and MDU rate schedule, kindred expansion, surcharge, tariff, and rates. Case number PU-23-294.
Second.
If this one sounds familiar, it's because we did approve a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity back in January of 2022 to allow and support MDU's expansion of their gas system into the Kindred area. And so now, last summer, end of last summer, they filed with us a plan for establishing rates to support that. And what we're doing here is starting the process of evaluating their plan for how they would charge customers for that system. And comments and requests for hearing on this matter must be received by January 22nd of 2024. And if appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest and finding the cases involve similar questions of law or fact, I move the commission consolidate for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 6902.04.04, Oliver Wind 4 LLC 200 megawatt Oliver 4 Energy Center in Oliver County, citing application case number PU-23-317, and Oliver 4 LLC 345 kV transmission line, Oliver Mercer, citing application case number PU-23-318. I further move the commission deem the applications complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of a consolidated hearing in these two projects, Oliver Wind 4 LLC 200 megawatt Oliver 4 Energy Center, Oliver County, citing application case number PU-23-317, and Oliver Wind 4 LLC 345 kV transmission line, Oliver Mercer, citing application case number PU-23-318.
Second.
Let's figure out a way to not make those so wordy. That's craziness.
I second that again.
Oh my gosh. All right. So on September 28th, Oliver Wind 4 filed an application for a 200 megawatt wind project with 73 wind turbines and associated facilities in Oliver County. And then also on September 28th, they filed a permit for a transmission line of approximately 19.5 miles, 345 kV, that would be in Oliver and Mercer counties. So this motion consolidates both those applications into one hearing time that will be January 29th at 10 a.m. at the Betty Hagel Memorial Civic Center in Center. And so the public is encouraged and invited to participate, come to that hearing where we will be reviewing the company's plans for those two projects and taking public input.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I would go ahead. Just add to that, though, that as far as that piece of transmission that would be in Mercer County, the community of Center is actually almost as close to that those properties as any place in Mercer County where you could hold it. So it's a good consolidation.
Thanks, Randy. I will just add on this project. So just a little bit more background. There's 73 wind turbines. It's a 200 megawatt facility. Will cover approximately 22,000 acres in Oliver County. They are projecting an in-service date by December of 2024. And they have signed an interconnection agreement with Southwest Power Pool, and they have a 15-year power purchase agreement with Verizon. So a few other details on that project.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. I move the commission deem complete the combined application for a quarter certificate and route permit filed on October 18th of 2023 and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in Basin Electric Power Cooperative's 345 kV transmission line project, Williams County, citing application case number PU-23-338.
Second.
So this is a relatively short line. It's 14.6 miles of 345 kV transmission line in Williams County. The project will originate at the Pioneer Switchyard, located within the Pioneer Generation Station, and will terminate at the Judson Switchyard as just 19 or 15 miles to the east of that facility. The hearing is scheduled for February 1st at 9 a.m. at the Williston City Hall in Williston. And so we invite the public to come and attend that hearing, where we'll be hearing from the company on their plans for this line. Just the cut to the chase, this is the transmission line that connects the new Pioneer Generation Station to their transmission system.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And my final motion, I move the commission adopt the order on interim rates in Montana Dakota Utilities Company 2023 natural gas rate increase application case number PU-23-341.
Second.
So this is the second rate increase case we have at the commission right now. This one is from MDU for their gas system. They're requesting an increase in annual revenue for the 2024 test year of about $10 million, which is a 6.46% increase. Advocacy staff has reviewed this interim increase and found that it is in compliant with the law. So in the event that the interim rate amounts collected by MDU are greater than what we approve in the final rates after this case is complete, then MDU will refund the excess to North Dakota ratepayers with interest. And so with that, we are set to approve this interim rate. I do want to make a couple comments. First of all, I don't like that we're doing this right before Christmas. The interim rates will take effect in January. But the North Dakota law allows them ability to collect interim rates. And so if they meet the requirements, we're required to approve those. So that's sort of just a standard business procedure here. In this case, you know, in a lot of the electric cases, utilities rates are going up, and you can see some of that tied to the transition of the electric industry from the traditional resources to more renewable resources, and all that is occurring to support that. In the gas side, that's not necessarily the case. In both electric and gas, we do face aging infrastructure in this country, and so we'd be looking at replacement on the electric side, regardless of the energy transition. It just might be different and at a different pace. On the gas side, I think it's important to just point to the fact that the gas systems were put in place, you know, 25 to 50 years ago. Those systems connect to people's homes. And so it's really important that they be safe. And in order to maintain that safety, you have to keep investing in replacements of the facilities, replacements of the pipe, and upgrades to the facility and maintenance, operation and maintenance. So that's certainly what MDU says is driving this case. I want to assure you all that we will be digging deep into this case and what the company is requesting and making sure that we're approving just those investments that we believe are needed to keep the system safe and efficient and working properly to provide the service that keeps North Dakota citizens safe and warm in their homes throughout the winter season and provides really important power to industrial companies throughout our state as well. So that's really what we'll be doing with this case, and it'll probably take a bulk of the coming year to get to the bottom of it and come up with a final plan.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, a couple of announcements. This afternoon at 1:30 is an informal hearing on that Rugby Wind project. That's at 1:30. That is case number 23-318. On Monday, the three of us, so it does need to be noticed, I presume it probably has been, will be at the Energy Development and Transmission Committee down in the Harvest Room. I don't really have any more details on that, but that's at 1 o'clock. I don't know if the meeting might, their meeting might start earlier than that, but we will be down there at 1. Next Thursday, the 21st, at 2 o'clock in the Pioneer Room downstairs on the east side, will be a formal hearing on the SCS Carbon Transport Midwest Carbon Express CO2 pipeline project. You may have heard of it. case number PU-22-391. This hearing will not be like on the order of the 5 public hearings that we held last spring and summer. This is for oral legal arguments on the issue of political subdivision ordinances and how they apply. And then the next day on the 22nd at 9 o'clock is a formal hearing, and that is the Casey and Julie Voigt versus Coyote Creek Mining Company. The Voigts have brought a complaint against the mine. That's case number RC-23-348. And this meeting, as Commissioner Haugenhofer pointed out earlier, ends our annual cycle of regularly scheduled meetings. And during our administrative meeting momentarily, hopefully we come to agreement on a schedule for 2024. The proposal that I sent out has the first meeting on January 3rd at 10 o'clock. And I'm thinking that someone might have a conflict with that. That might get switched to the 4th, but I'm not sure when that first meeting is going to be. But I will say hopefully after today, the whole year will be scheduled, and that's just where we are on the calendar. That concludes my announcements. With that, I will stand in recess for some questions from the press.